This is a special bonus edition of Judaism Unbound, a state of moral emergency. Welcome back, everyone. I'm Dan Liebenson.
And I'm Lex Rofberg.
And in response to the situation at the borders where children are being taken away from their parents when they are coming in an undocumented fashion or seeking asylum or refugee status in the United States, the progressive Jewish social justice organization Bend the Arc issued a declaration of a state of moral emergency. This declaration echoed language that Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel first put down in a telegram to President John F. Kennedy in 1963, speaking about the situation of civil rights in the United States. He proposed that the president declare a state of moral emergency and wrote that the hour calls for high moral grandeur and spiritual audacity. In this time where it is the president about whom the state of moral emergency needs to be declared, we're in a different situation, and yet there are echoes of the need for moral grandeur and spiritual audacity that Abraham Joshua Heschel called upon many years ago. Our guest today is Stash Kotler. She is the chief executive officer of Bend the Arc Jewish Action and Bend the Arc, a Jewish partnership for justice. In 2015, the Center for American Progress named Stash Kotler one of the 15 progressive faith leaders to watch, and she's been named one of 14 Jewish women to watch by the Forward, and also has been on the Forward 50 list of the most influential American Jews. We're really pleased to be able to have her here today to talk about the situation in America today, the reason why Bend the Arc is declaring a state of moral emergency, and what we can do about it. Stash Kotler, welcome to Judaism Unbound. It's great to have you, although I wish it were under different circumstances.
Thanks so much for having me and having Bend the Arc, and agreed about the circumstances, and happy to be able to share how Jews can make a difference.
Well, we got an email from you a few days ago where you, and on behalf of Bend the Arc, wrote that you were declaring this time to be a state of moral emergency, and you were asking people to sign on to a statement that you made about the current situation at the U.S. borders, and also asked organizations to try to help spread the word. So we figured that we could do that. And we are hoping just to start by having you explain a little bit what drove you to this state of moral emergency, and could you describe a little bit about what you mean by that?
One of the trends that we've seen, it's not a new trend, let's be clear, that xenophobia has been part of our country's DNA, and what we have also seen since Trump announced his candidacy, actually, in 2015, and all through his current administration and his reign right now, is that we have seen an overt and really abhorrent criminalization of immigrants, of migrant people, of documented and undocumented families, of asylum seekers and refugees. And we believe that this is a horrific, immoral position for our government to be taking. We, in the Jewish community, many of us, not all of us, have our own stories of immigration. And so I think it hits a very personal chord for some of us. And we also, at Bend the Arc, are really situating this current moment when thousands of people are in detentions in just the most, you know, terrible, terrible, heartbreaking conditions. And we're seeing that this is not just an incident that's happening in isolation, but it's actually part of a bigger slide towards authoritarianism. And this is of grave concern to Bend the Arc and so many Jews. And it's also just imperative that we do everything we can to get the word out about what's happening to immigrant families and to do our part in making a change.
And what are you asking Jewish people and Jewish organizations to do at this time?
At this time, we have a baseline ask, which is we're hoping that every single person who sees this state of moral emergency declaration signs their name. And if you happen to be a Jew who is a leader in an institution or a community organization, a Jewishly identified community organization of any type and of any size, if you can sign that on as well. Right now we have almost 15,000 individual signatures, and we're upwards towards, I think, almost 140 organizations. And that's an excellent start. And we also know that we can do more. So first baseline ask is to make it clear that the American Jewish community is in staunch opposition to the criminalization of immigrants and refugees and asylum seekers. And then there are so many ways that we're hoping that Jews who identify in all the many beautiful ways that we know Jews identify can take action. A number of actions are happening through Bend the Arc, but we also really want folks to organize your own actions to fit your community and to fit what's happening in your city or town.
That's really amazing to hear that there's 140 organizations on board, and I also share your desire for that number to increase. What would you say to Jewish communal organizations that for whatever reason feel uncertain about signing on, whether because they're unsure where they stand or they're unsure about speaking out if not their whole community agrees about the nature of the situation?
Well, I would approach this from a number of levels. First and foremost, I believe it is so very clear that Jewish values mandate that we speak up and speak out and take action when we see that those communities and individuals that are targeted, who are the most vulnerable, who are most at risk of being harmed physically, psychologically, sexually, spiritually, that we do everything we can to intervene and to act. That to me is one of the most fundamental and authentic expressions of what it means to be a Jew. And so for that reason alone, and for that reason entirely, I believe that we are compelled as Jews to act individually. And for those of us that have the honor and the privilege of leading institutions, this is part of what it means, in my opinion, to be a Jewish communal leader. And I would also say that I know that there is sometimes a reticence on the part of institutions, particularly institutions that are nonprofit organizations like synagogues or community centers or federations, to quote unquote be apolitical or unpolitical. And one important component of this conversation is that no one is asking anyone to be partisan. No one is asking anyone to risk legal liability. But what we do know is that all organizations are, in fact, political, because all organizations exist in a society in which power is not distributed equally, and organizations exist in a politicized context at all times. So just by being a Jewish organization, by being an institution of any kind, it is a politicized identity, even though we don't often talk about it in those terms. So given that as well, I believe that institutions, by not participating, by not taking action, by remaining silent in this moment of abhorrent conditions, are, whether consciously, unconsciously, deliberately or not, participating in maintaining the status quo. And the status quo at this moment is violence and criminalization against immigrant children, families, parents, people who are seeking safety and survival.
You know, I remember when Donald Trump was running for president and saying all these various abhorrent things that he was saying, Rabbi Scheiheld, who is one of our guests previously on the podcast, wrote something on Facebook along the lines of, figure out right now where your red lines are, because if you don't, what probably are your red lines are going to keep getting crossed, and you're going to kind of keep saying, well, it's not quite there yet. And so there's some need to establish that now. And, you know, that's sort of similar to that old story of the frog that's boiling in the pot of water and that doesn't realize that it's boiling until it's already too late to get out. And I feel like we're experiencing that now. I mean, I feel like when I think about a year ago or 2 years ago, if we would have had a poll in any synagogue in America that said, you know, if we got to the point where babies were being ripped out of their parents' arms and being put in some kind of detention facilities for babies, would that be a point at which you would say the American government cannot do that and I'll do anything to stop it? And I think that most people would have said yes. Now it feels like we're at that point, and it's astonishing to me that there could possibly be any Jewish organization that would not want to join in this movement that you're spearheading. And I guess I'm curious, A, what you're hearing from people who are still reluctant, and B, if you could speak a little bit even more to this moment. And I remember also that you, Ben the Ark, had this campaign during the Trump campaign, I believe, that where you said, we've seen this before. And these kind of Holocaust analogies are always, you know, some people say you shouldn't make them and nothing is comparable to the Holocaust. And okay, but it's also the case that we've seen this before. And I feel like if, so not the Holocaust, but okay, the pogroms, you know, but if Jews can't get to a point where we say this goes beyond anything that we could possibly accept, then what have we learned from our history? I mean, I can't even wrap my mind around it.
Well, I have to tell you, I share that confusion, and I can share what I've heard in my conversations with Jews across the country over the past couple of years. And you're right, the campaign that we launched in 2015 was called We've Seen This Before, and it was very much because we were noticing from the very beginning when Trump announced his candidacy that these echoes of anti-immigrant sentiment that were woven in through all of his rallies and the way he was demonizing religious minorities and talking about how we couldn't trust the press and incentivizing mob and then ultimately state violence, that these things were disturbing and were also clear indications that if he were going to follow through on those things, it would be a real threat, not just to existing communities who were already chronically endangered, people of color, immigrant communities, Muslim communities, and Jewish communities, but it would get much worse as our democracy itself would be threatened by that type of blatant scapegoating and demonization of different groups. And so to me, I also wonder how it's possible that we can see these literally, it's not weekly and it's not even daily, it's sometimes hourly incursions into different communities, like the destruction of civil rights, the taking apart of different institutions that actually are necessary for a democracy to function. And right now, this very vivid and painful set of experiences of children who are literally being ripped apart from their parents, and who it's devastating to be witness to that. And one of the things that I've heard when I've talked with Jews across the country is a sense of knowing that we should not normalize this extremely abnormal situation, and feeling the impact of being so run down by these daily offenses. I think that that is taking a toll on people. I also do believe that some Jews are feeling a sense of fear and choosing to taking a stance that putting our heads in the sand or not taking action is actually going to be a safer way to get by in this moment, or by actively affiliating with the Trump administration more blatantly. I do want to say that there are many, many, many tens of thousands of Jews who are also taking brilliant, amazing, gorgeous action, and that would be amiss not to really hold that up and to know that that's true too. And I think that people want to know what they can do, and they want to know concretely what kind of action they can take that will make a difference. And so part of what Ben the Ark is really trying to put out publicly far and wide, and we encourage anyone who is listening to this or who knows anyone who might be interested, is to join us. And we are providing tools and training and very concrete actions that people can take in order to be part of a strategic change that we are making in partnership with directly targeted immigrant communities and immigrant community leaders. So, for example, we are one of the anchor organizations that will be leading the protests that will be happening at the end of this month on June 30th. There will be a big action in DC, and my impression is that there will be actions happening all over the country. We have an incredible electoral campaign called Jews Interrupt Trump, which is targeting initially 12 districts that Jews can door knock and call folks to turn out the rising American majority to vote and actually change who's in power in 2018. We're starting to get word of delegations going to different border cities in partnership again with immigrant communities. And we have so many more ways for people to get involved. Some of them are very low barrier, light lift, and others, for any of you who are interested, are a significant amount of volunteer time. But we do very much want people to know that we have smart, direct, concrete actions that people can take that are adding up to making a difference.
So Dan and I talk for our job largely, mm-hmm. and speaking into a microphone and publicly is something I do all the time. And I haven't had words for what's happening right now. I just and what I do when I'm in that mental and emotional space, not because it's necessarily the best route, it's just my route, is I like jump to Jewish text and tradition. And when I have, I've just been spending this last bunch of days wrestling with the Book of Lamentations, which is sort of the ultimate expression of grief and sorrow in Jewish text. It's traditionally read on the 9th of Av, one of the saddest days of the entire year. And its Hebrew name is just Echa, which means how? And like the closest thing I've had to words is that one word question, like how? How this is, and all over Lamentations, this book that is the Jewish paradigmatic expression of grief and sorrow, the way that it sends that message is it brings up children over and over again. It brings up the pain of children over and over again. This is the most transparent, most straightforward kind of wrong that I think we humans can envision, is the transparent oppression of children. And so I get like, that's not a question. I seriously, I'm speechless and I don't have articulate questions right now, unfortunately, but just how can we look to Jewish tradition? You've already talked a little bit about this. How can we look to Jewish textual tradition, but also just to Jewish history and what you've termed as Jewish values? What does it look like to do exactly what you're talking about and really take some of these ideas and stories and experiences of our people and channel them into fixing this? Because we have to.
As someone who did not grow up in a family where I had access or was familiar with any Jewish texts, my Jewish knowledge and learning was quite thin, and I didn't actually even identify strongly Jewishly at all until my late 20s. So for me, one of the most striking aspects of why engaging in these issues Jewishly can be so important is that when I began to connect more with what it meant to be a Jew living in the United States at this moment in time, it made me realize that there was so much within our tradition that I could reach for. Sometimes that could be text, like you just described. For me, it happens not to be. But I know for many people, text is a profound way to connect with wisdom and a lineage that is actually so sacred. I know that for many people right now, I have, and myself too, really taking Shabbat has become far more important than it had been at other times. And by that, I mean really to take that moment of replenishment and a break so that we can go back into the work for the remainder of the following week and the following week, and to be sustained, to know that this is work that we need to simultaneously be ready to endure and dig in for what I would call a very intense sprint, and also be preparing and training for the marathon. I think it is a both and right now. And I believe there's one of the things that we've seen among our grassroots who are organizing Bend the Arc Moral Minions across the country right now is the value of just being with other Jews and having space to ask these questions, to be in a group of Jews who are grappling with the unfathomability of this moment and to ask how, and to have the space to process the grief and the despair and the fear and the anger and the confusion, and to simultaneously have a sense of being connected to something much bigger than ourselves, and to know that our people, the Jewish people, have endured thousands of years, and we are a people that knows deeply what it means to be transformed and to transform society, and that does not happen overnight, and it will take everything we have. So my sense is that there is profound and endless wisdom that we can tap into in a really creative way. And I also think that there's something so valuable right now in being in connection and relationship with other people, and not just Jews, for sure, to be building relationships across all lines of difference. And there can be something really comforting too about having a space that we are doing this stuff with other Jews. The other thing that I'll say, because I think it is important in this moment, just to go back to this current, like today, which is a time when we now have seen, you know, thousands of family members ripped apart from one another, where we have children in these camps, these recycled old Walmarts, and parents who don't know if they're going to see their children ever again, that it is a horrific thing that it takes that level of human suffering to tap into the hearts of some people to feel like, oh, okay, we've gotten to a place where now we need to act. And I think part of what we were talking about earlier is like, where is that line? And shouldn't that line have happened a long time ago before we ever got to this place? And today, in fact, we know that Trump gave an executive order. And just to be really clear, that executive order is no victory. That executive order is not a win. This is not a solution at all. That this order simply means now that instead of children being separated from their parents and being detained, that now families will be detained, potentially indefinitely. We don't know.
I was going to ask you about this executive order, which, as we're recording this on Wednesday afternoon, this was just issued about an hour ago. And I agree with your assessment of it, that basically what it means is that families are going to be detained together. So I guess that's a step forward from being ripped apart, but not a solution in any way, as you describe. I think my question is kind of that it feels like what I'm concerned about now is that people will say, well, I guess that was the emergency, and now the emergency has abated, so now we're back to a state of moral alarm and not emergency, right? And I guess I would love to sort of think with you and understand from you and get some of your guidance on how do we kind of think about this situation of a moral emergency, where one of the concerns is, as you said earlier, that when people feel like they're in a state of emergency for years, they'll start to get tired, and they'll start to get exhausted, and they'll make excuses to themselves as to how it's not quite an emergency. And I worry about that. And at the same time, I think it's an emergency. And I'm trying to figure out, what is the right way? Let's assume that we just sort of keep seeing this over and over again, like this sort of general state of awfulness with a periodic horror. What is the right way to sort of act over the next 2 or 3 years, and hopefully not more than that?
I do believe that it's our collective responsibility to remind ourselves and each other that we cannot allow ourselves to be tricked into seeing the world through the frames in which the Trump administration and his enablers are delivering their political agenda. That because Trump's administration and Jeff Sessions created a zero tolerance policy in April, that put into motion a much more heightened expression of the criminalization of immigrants and migrants and asylum seekers and refugees. That was absolutely unnecessary. That was a political move that was made purposefully and has now resulted in this enormous outcry. And the walking it back so that parents and children are no longer separated, but entire families are now criminalized and detained it's so terrible. And I think, again, if we were in normal times, we would be able to see that so clearly. And so part of our job, I believe, is to continue to check ourselves and to check each other and to not adopt that worldview that would ever give us permission or indication that that one step back is acceptable. It is so unacceptable. And at this point in time, I would say, in response to how can we make sure that we're not going to get tired over time as these really, really, I'm running out of words that mean terrible, negative, egregious, awful, you know, it's like, how many ways can you describe it? But because we do know that with this current set of electeds in power and this administration and conditions as they are, I would say that rather than even allow ourselves to get used to several years, that it's our job to be taking action every day, that it really does mean that we need to find the wherewithal and the strength and the determination and commitment within ourselves and within each other, and to build the power that we're going to need. If we wait and wait and wait, I do think that there will be a wearing down.
I've been reflecting on that danger too of there's this moving of the goalposts, to use like a bizarre sports metaphor in this circumstance, but I think appropriate. I just want to say directly that the opposite of evil is not less evil. Like, the opposite of evil is good. And if we think that success is to become less terrible, then we've set such an unbelievably low standard for ourselves so as to be meaningless. And I think that whether it's from a Jewish lens, whether it's from just a moral lens or a human lens or whatever lens, the second we start to strive for a little less evil in the sense that Trump's slightly walking back is that, like, we do something horrendous. Like, I think of, I had an experience a number of months ago where my car was broken into and our cell phones were stolen. And my initial reaction was, this is terrible and it's a horrible feeling. And then I checked in my pockets and I had my wallet on me, and it was like, oh, they didn't take my wallet. And like that was like this huge feeling of relief that like they only took my phone. And the second we let that keep happening, and where we're thanking God or thanking the government or thanking whatever for the fact that every last element of us hasn't been stripped away, or in this case, every element of thousands of people hasn't been like completely, utterly extra destroyed, but just completely, utterly destroyed. It's what they want to do. Like that's actually, I think, a conscious strategy. And so I'm not part of Bend the Arc in a measurable way. I'm not a staff member, but I'm just so called to what you're doing. And I guess, how would you communicate to folks out there that do perceive the evils that we're talking about, to hammer it home? What are some more of the concrete actions that they can take in the next, really, the next hour, maybe the next day, like immediately, because we need that.
In this moment, we are seeing the ugliest aspects of our country's founding DNA in full expression. And it is something that puts all of us in danger of either being complicit or finding ways to take action. So I would say, very concretely, if people are interested in taking action with Bend the Arc, you can go onto our website. And if you go to bendthearc.us, you can find out more about what we're doing. If you sign that Declaration of Moral Emergency, it means that you'll be followed up with and you can learn about the different actions that are happening. Concretely, we have opportunities for people to be doing phone banking that are connected to this set of issues, as well as the elections coming up in November, because part of what we're seeking to do is to really intervene and interrupt this immediate crisis, but also to see that it's part of a long-term and much bigger set of issues that in part rest with who's elected and who's in power. That's not all of it, but that's a big part of it. So you could get involved in our electoral work. You can do that even if you're not part of the districts that are being door knocked and phone banked. There are ways that you can get involved and do that important work of helping us shift who's in power and making sure that those that are in power are those that do actually represent the values and the views of the majority of the American Jewish community, which, by the way, are quite liberal and quite progressive. You can start a Bend the Arc Moral Minion in the town or city that you live in. And it's really, really easy if you just get 10 folks who you know in whatever kind of way. And if you sign up, we will get you information on how you can start your first meeting, how you can do some one-to-ones in your community and get to know who else is out there, give you some information on how you can introduce yourselves to local immigrant justice groups, to Muslim groups that are organizing potentially in your city, to racial justice groups or campaigns that are organizing. So depending on your interest, we absolutely have something that we could literally hand to you if you were to connect with us. Anything you could do on social media is great. You can share things, you can tweet about us. If you're listening to this podcast, I'm assuming that there's some way that you can share it. This is an all hands on deck moment, and we need every single person to come in whatever way you can. And we will do everything we can to find a role for you.
Well, I want to say on the air that I'd like you to send me that Moral Minion information, because it's something that I've actually talked about many times on the show. And I don't know if this is exactly what you mean by Moral Minion, but this is what I want to do with it, is that I'm not personally very interested in going to synagogue too often. It doesn't do anything for me. If instead of meeting in the synagogue building, we would have a Jewish community that would be out every week protesting at Trump Tower, or protesting in some protest, and that would be the spiritual exercise, that would be very exciting to me. You know, that it's not only that I want my synagogue to go to this protest every once in a while, I want that also, but that I want to actually have a synagogue or a version of a synagogue that is what it does. That is the spiritual practice. And I'm excited to hear about this. And, you know, I am with you on that texts are not often sort of my first place to look in terms of what Judaism is all about. It's part of it. But we've talked also on the show about what we've talked about as folk Judaism, this idea that Judaism is in large part what Jews have made it over a long period of time, and the history that we have of progressive action, the history that we have of our own oppression, it feels like those are sources. Now, I think that the really important thing to recognize, that I know that most of our listeners do recognize, is that this is one of those cases where they all line up. The texts say the same thing as our history says. And the fact of the matter is that most Jews want to do the right thing. And, you know, but I do think of a text, you know, that in the book of Esther, there's this moment where Esther is in this position where she can really affect the future. And she's very nervous to do it because there could be consequences if it doesn't go well. And Mordecai says to her, you know, perhaps it is only for this moment that you've gotten to the place where you've gotten to. And I sort of feel like if the American Jews, having gone through everything that we've gone through, having our own stories of immigration being closed off, you know, having our own texts that we've talked about for so many millennia about social justice, and if in the moment like this, we can't step up and actually do something, and if that's because we're too lazy, or it's because we're trying to have too much, you know, peace in our institutions with a very small number of people who don't want to do that, then it feels to me like this is actually a moment where we might actually discover that the whole thing isn't worth continuing. And I don't think that that's the right conclusion, but I think that if it turns out that the Jewish community cannot mobilize at this time and for this purpose, then I'm not sure that I don't reach that conclusion.
That point of view is what I hear from so many people that I talk to all the time. So you're definitely not alone in having that point of view. And I'd also say that it's, well, a couple of things. One is, I agree with you entirely that this is going to be a defining moment for this country and also for the Jewish community. The extent to which the Jewish community either rises to this occasion to speak out and take action and not remain silent, I believe is going to ripple into generations ahead in ways that we cannot fathom. And I also believe it's happening right as we're entering this moment in time where the Jewish story of people who, you know, are in their 80s and 90s is a very different Jewish story than people who are 40 and younger. And the absolute disconnect between those generations and those stories, coupled with the possibility that our community and our community leaders could demonstrate inaction and could demonstrate silence, I think is going to be profoundly, I think it's going to profoundly have an impact on the character of who we become, which is all the more reason why it's so important right now for young people to come up and to come out, for younger Jews to actually step into this moment and help us through your leadership, to know that we're providing a meaningful sense of Jewish identity, a meaningful Jewish community, that we want to be a home where Jewish means doing justice, and that if that is not what it means to be Jewish, I too question whether or not there will be a Jewish community that has any meaning beyond being a numeric minority people.
Yeah. So I couldn't agree more, and we're wrapping up now, but usually when we wrap up, actually I think every single time we've wrapped up an episode, we've closed by saying you can find Judaism Unbound on Facebook and Twitter, blah, blah, blah. That feels really weird to do at the end of an episode like this. And so actually instead, I would like to close just to make this real as Dan did, and how Dan is going to be looking into what it would look like to have Omer Ominyan in his area in on the south side of Chicago. Like, I want to close in a different way by saying what we usually would, but with respect to Bend the Arc, and to this broader movement that's not just Bend the Arc, but that's devoted to creating a country where justice reigns supreme and not an authoritarian. So as we close, well, first off, thank you, Stosh Kotler, for joining us. This has been such an urgent and important conversation. I appreciate you for having it with us.
Thank you so much for inviting me on and for learning more about Bend the Arc. And also, I do want to mention there are a number of fantastic Jewish social justice organizations. So if you live in a town or a city with a local Jewish social justice organization, if you live in Detroit, Detroit Jews for Justice, North Carolina, Carolina Jews for Justice, DC, Jews United for Justice, Minnesota, Minneapolis, Jewish Community Action, New York City, JFRIDGE, Jews for Racial and Economic Justice. There are a bunch of Jewish organizations in the Jewish Social Justice Roundtable that are also working really hard too. So all of us would love to connect with people.
Absolutely. Check out all of those orgs. You can find a really helpful resource, the Jewish Social Justice Roundtable that you mentioned, that is an umbrella organization of many such groups, in our show notes for this episode. And just to close, as I said, we really hope that you will do what you might normally for Judaism Unbound, but directed towards justice right now. So if you can visit the Facebook page, the Twitter page of Bend the Arc, share the resources that they are putting out there right now. If you can consider, if you're able to, a financial donation in support of Bend the Arc or others that are looking to change the tide of how our country is going right now, all of that would go a really long way. And it's not just a political choice that would be. It really is, I think all of us agree, a Jewish choice at this moment. So just thanks to all of you for listening. And with that, this has been Judaism Unbound.